tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 3rd of July, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, unfortunately, we don't have Grandpa Dan with us this week, but he will be back with us next week. And today I want to take a look at an inquiry, and the results of this inquiry have just come out, and it was basically looking at the white working class in Britain and trying to find out why they are not succeeding. And of course, they should be the group that are most likely to succeed because they have an average IQ of 100. If you compare that to the average black African's IQ of 70, you can see why the white students generally, whether they're working class or whether they are upper class, should be most likely to succeed. But for some reason, they are not succeeding. What could it be? And this first article that I've got here comes from Breitbart. It says, white working class students most disadvantaged in Britain's education system. Inquiry. Government statistics have revealed that working class white students are the demographic most disadvantaged by the British education system, despite receiving next to zero attention in the broader zeitgeist. And that's because if anybody talks about this subject, they would be accused of being racist. And people won't believe it. And they'll say, well, black people are disadvantaged. Why aren't we doing things to help out the black people? It can't be that the white students are disadvantaged. But when anybody tries to help these white students out, for instance, by making an endowment to a school or a university to help the white working class, that school or university will refuse the money because they know that if they take it, they will be accused of being racist. Yet when you have a musician like Stormzy, the black rapper, when he donates £1 million to create scholarships at universities, that's welcomed. And you see the state stepping in to help out and do other things of the same. It's just another example of our two-tier system. While much of the societal energy is placed on improving the lot of ethnic minorities, it is in fact working class white boys who are actually in need of attention and assistance. This is why we say we have a two-tier system. Because that's all we hear about is how difficult it is for ethnic minorities and how we have to make exceptions for them. We have to have say that we only want ethnic minorities to apply for the job. White people should not apply because they're not actually going to get the position because companies want to improve their diversity and get the numbers of ethnic minorities up. That's a policy that comes from the Equality Act that Tony Blair brought in. And all the companies in Britain, all the subsidiaries of the government, they had to improve their diversity. Effectively, they had to replace as many white people with non-whites as possible. So this has been baked into the system for the last 25 years. That's the cause of all of this. According to government figures shared with broadcaster ITV, as part of the independent inquiry into white working class educational outcomes, white working class students are nearly twice as likely to be absent from school compared to other groups. Why might that be? Could it be that in these multicultural areas, the white students don't actually want to go to school when their school is filled up with other ethnic groups speaking in other languages, other ethnic groups that end up becoming adults quicker than white people? We learned a while back when we were doing the Thought Criminals podcast between myself and Sam Melia, black people can be up to 2 years more advanced than the white pupils physically. They mature quicker. They can be like an adult of 18 years old when they're only 15 years old. And you think of the bullying that must go on there when you have pretty much physical adults with child mentality, and they're of a different ethnic group, and then you have this white ethnic group there that aren't maturing as fast as the black ethnic group, and they get picked upon. So I think I can quite sympathize with white students not wanting to go to school if their school is multicultural and there is such a potential there for bullying. Their report also found that white working class students were 2.5 times more likely to be severely absent or missing over 50% of lessons. And their family is also probably not getting the sort of help that non-white families would get. I mean, we talk about these scholarships, funds, grants, extra tuition that you get for non-white students. You don't get any of that for the white students. So I imagine that the families themselves are not getting the support that non-white families would get to encourage the children to go to their lessons. The statistics from the inquiry also reveal that 34% of white working class students were in need of special education assistance, as opposed to 19% among all other groups. This is horrendous. When you think white people on average have an IQ of 100, black Africans have an IQ of 70, yet 34% of the white working class students are in need of special education assistance. It's because they've just been ignored. They're ignored by the teachers, and the teachers are concentrating on the black and non-white pupils, because if they don't do that, they'll be accused of being racist. Also because these teachers are all left-wing. They've all been indoctrinated with this idea of white privilege, and they see their white students as inherently privileged, and that it's the black students and the non-white students that need all the attention. Education Secretary Phillipson said that it was clear that white working class kids get amongst the worst outcomes in the education system. That's not to say there aren't other disparities, and we absolutely will tackle those too. One of the biggest indicators is obviously class background and the amount of money that your family has, she said. That's why tackling child poverty is such a big priority for this government. Is child poverty the root of the problem here? I think the root of the problem is directing all the resources towards non-whites, and that goes throughout the whole of society. When pressed on what the government intends to do to reverse the situation for working class whites, she said the government will launch a Mission Northeast scheme later this year to improve outcomes, but was unable to give specifics. Just bear in mind that they've known this for about 10 years now. Must be about 10 years. I can recall doing podcasts on this years ago. Reports that showed that white working class pupils were falling behind. People saying that something needed to be done about it. And the government just ignore it. And they just start talking about structural racism. I think I do have to be honest in saying that we do have some big ideas about things we want to do to make this work better. But if we had all the answers, we would have solved it by now, she said. And it's a great shame that they don't actually talk about IQ, because they would realise just how bad this is if they looked at average IQs. They would realise that far from not being able to get anywhere in life, these white working class students, they should be most likely to be able to get somewhere in life because of the high IQ that they have when compared to the other ethnic groups in the country. But they don't look at it. They don't look at IQ, and they just ignore it, pretend it doesn't exist, or even worse, pretend that everybody just has the same IQ. While not often discussed in the legacy media or commonly addressed by establishment politicians, the fact that white working class students, boys in particular, have fallen behind other groups in terms of academic success has been well established for years. And that's what I was saying. The other issue here is that they've directed a lot of attention to women as well and females. And in schools, they will only do subjects that females are capable of doing, which means that they don't do subjects which the boys are going to be most interested in. Boys end up falling behind. Women are programmed to want somebody that is more intelligent, more successful than them. And yet we've set up a system which makes it harder for boys to be successful. And then you end up with the women not being attracted to the boys because they're supposed to be finding someone who is more intelligent than themselves. And they can't do that because the boys have not been educated to a sufficient extent, because the boys are not interested in the sort of subjects that, that girls are interested in. And they literally, they've changed everything in schools so that you're only able to teach and do things that the girls are capable of doing, rather than doing things for boys which stretch boys to their limits and their best of their talents, and then doing the same for girls. They have to mix them all in together now. There is a good argument to be made for separating boys' schools and girls' schools. Some, including former Oxford University Don, Professor Peter Edwards, have postulated that it is in part a result of it becoming a taboo topic among government and educational officials, given that it is only politically correct to discuss the supposed plight of women or ethnic minorities in Britain. So it's feminism and anti-racism is the reason. And if you bring up this subject, you're probably going to get accused of being far right, the same as you get accused of being far right whenever you express any concern about the condition of white people. However, Professor Edwards previously warned Parliament in 2020, 6 years ago, that if not addressed, the country is facing potentially grave socio-economic and socio-political consequences in artificially creating an aggrieved segment of the population, particularly if other races continue to be provided with DEI-style positive discrimination efforts to give them a leg up. So what he's saying there is you have a segment of the population, the non-white population, which is being indoctrinated to have grievances against white people, to see that the reason that they don't succeed so well is because they're being kept down essentially by white people. White people have an inherent privilege. That's why they get the top positions, not because they have a high IQ, but because they have this privilege. And if you're going to do that and tell black people that they're being kept down by whites, and then with the whites you're going to tell them that they're privileged, when quite clearly they're not, because they have all non-white and all female shortlists for a job. And then you have DEI-style positive discrimination efforts, which discriminate against white people. It's just a recipe for discontentment, isn't it? It's just a recipe for friction within society. We wouldn't have any of this if we had homogenous societies that were not multicultural, multiracial. He says, this will surely lead to the disturbing narrative of a vicious spiral downwards. This is an utterly critical point. We must not only utilise the huge untapped potential there must surely be in this group of white working class boys, but also recognise the very real threat of the destabilisation of the very fabric of the country, he predicted. Well, the destabilisation of the very fabric of the country has been going on since the end of the Second World War, and that's been caused by mass immigration and diversity. That's what destabilises the very fabric of the country. And when you try to artificially force diversity upon people, you end up with things like diversity, equity and inclusion policies. You end up with speech laws, you end up with reverse discrimination, all of these ridiculous things that just cause even more conflict between the groups. You end up having to have them because what you're trying to do is create an artificial environment, an environment that doesn't exist anywhere else in nature. And they talk about integrating people when it's not possible to integrate people. How can a sheep integrate itself into a herd of cows? It can't. It's a sheep. And it's the same when you're trying to integrate different ethnic groups into part of a nation. A nation is an ethnic group in itself. There can't be one ethnic group cannot be integrated into another ethnic group. It's not possible because they're two separate ethnic groups. The same as a sheep can't be integrated into a cow herd. And the end result of this is trying to force these things to work when they won't work. It's completely unnatural. And that's what destabilizes the fabric of the country. What this is a symptom of this. It's a symptom of multiculturalism, is that the white working class end up at the bottom of the pile when they should be up there near the top. Among major parties, only Nigel Farage's Reform UK has vowed to fully repeal all DEI and anti-white discrimination from the books in Britain and replace them with merit-based systems. And they're basically, they say they're major parties, and they're not including Restore in that, because of course Rupert Lowe has also said they will fully repeal all DEI and anti-white discrimination. Restore also want to repeal the Public Order Act, or the section of it, where people are prosecuted for hate speech. And they also want to completely abolish the Equalities Act, which is where all this DEI comes from. It comes from people and organisations trying to comply with the Equality Act. That's why it needs to be got rid of. So they're sort of promoting reform here, but they are being honest, at least. They're saying among the major parties, only Nigel Farage has vowed to fully repeal this. Of course, if you include Restore in that as well, they have also. Shadow Education Secretary Suella Braverman has said that a reform government would repeal the Equality Act, which she noted institutionalises DEI in our public sector by placing legal duties on public servants to treat minority groups differently. That's all public servants. That's police, that's hospitals, that's teachers, that all of them. I can remember being brought up to say everybody should be treated equally. You shouldn't see race. You shouldn't see the colour of somebody's skin. And now what they're saying is everybody should be treated differently according to their colour of the skin. And if they're white, they're right at the bottom of the pile. And that it's a complete reversal of a meritocracy where you don't see the colour of somebody's skin. You don't see their race. You just see their talents and their capabilities, and we've gone from doing that to the opposite. You couldn't get a more racist system than the one that we actually have, and the establishment just can't see that because they don't think it's possible to be racist against white people, whereas the poor white kids that are not going to school because they're being bullied, I mean, they can see that the system is anti-white. They can see that they're the ones that are being oppressed by the system. This is why I think more and more young people are supportive of reform and restore. Braverman has also railed against the woke culture, which seeks to demonise white boys and elevate ethnic minorities, saying last month, "The drive to pander to minority communities has completely undermined and pushed aside white working class boys and their families. When English children are taught to hate themselves and their country because of the colour of their skin and told to apologise for their privilege, is it any wonder so many feel worthless and don't do well at school?" And I think we can add to that that we also have children now suffering from depression, too depressed to go to school. Why might they be depressed? Because they can see that everything is anti-white. It's all against them. I have another article here on the same topic with some different statistics. This one comes from GB News, and it's headlined, "White working class children are being failed by the British state. Damning inquiry confirms." White working class children are being failed by the British state. A damning inquiry has confirmed. The independent inquiry into white working class educational outcomes has ruled that an overhaul of the education system is required to mend a broken system. A complete overhaul of the education system. As I pointed out earlier, they also need to remove the Equality Act. Otherwise, they're just going to end up with the same education system if it tries to obey the same dictates from the Equality Act. Such demands include a hike in the number of apprenticeships available for youngsters, free local public transport for under 21s, and a new ban on smartphones in schools. Now, I think a ban on smartphones in schools would be much more sensible than banning social media entirely for young people. I think that's horrendous to do that. You think of the friendship networks and the communities that they must have online, and the government is just taking that all away from them. I think it's really wrong that they're doing that. A ban on smartphones in schools, I think that would be quite sensible. But this isn't really addressing the problem, isn't it? Is it? Setting up apprenticeships and giving free public transport and banning smartphones in schools. I mean, how is that going to reverse the problem with the white working class and they're not succeeding at school and not going on to have the life outcomes that they used to have. Bear in mind, they used to have much better life outcomes before multiculturalism. It's part of this being forced to live in this multicultural system. It's one of the reasons why people don't produce so many children anymore as well. It's like living in captivity, effectively. The probe, which began last summer, revealed the state is not serving the interests of white working class children. Of course, the anti-racists would cheer that and say, oh, that's what we want. We don't want it to serve the interests of white working class children. And the problem is you can't get it to serve everyone because not everyone's interests are the same. White working class children's interests will be different to black African children's interests. The white working class, their interests will best be served by pushing them to their absolute limit and getting them to be as educated as they can be. But if your IQ is only 70, you can't then put them in the same class with the white children and push the white children to their limits because the black children will not be able to cope. They will not be able to keep up. The only thing you could do is teach to the highest level of the black students, which is not going to be enough to challenge the white students, and the white students are going to lose interest, which is another reason for this happening, because they can't see that some children are going to be more brighter than others. And if they were to stream the children and put the bright ones in one class and put the less bright ones in another class, they would end up being racially stratified. And again, they'd be accused of racism. Whichever way you look at this, this multiculturalism just causes damage to everybody involved. The investigation examined why white working class youngsters fell in the lowest performing large demographic across England. Inquiry co-chair Baroness Estelle Morris shifted the blame from the children, as well as the teaching staff, insisting that responsibility cannot sit with schools alone. Again, I don't blame the children. The teaching staff are all left-wing, and I think that that is a sort of personal issue with them. But then they've been taught to be left-wing at the colleges and the universities that they've been to. So in a way, you can say, well, they're not truly responsible for that. It's what they've been indoctrinated with that has caused this problem. Meanwhile, Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson lamented that the youths had been robbed of opportunity, adding, the communities in this report are my communities. I know what they have given this country and what this country has failed to give back. Just think about that. Think what the working class has built for the country. Think of them down the coal mines. Think of them digging up the tin many years ago in Cornwall so that they could fuel the Bronze Age civilizations in the near and Middle East, going from that all the way to being down the pit and digging out the coal and fueling the industrial revolution that we had. We wouldn't have any of this if it wasn't for our working class. And now they're at the bottom of the heap. They're just being ignored. They're all white privileged, and they need to be made to feel guilty about their ancestors as well. And clearly, she's not pointing that out. And I do question whether she really has loyalty to her community as she's part of Labour and the mainstream. The inquiry was commissioned by the multi-academy trust Star Academies, backed by the Department for Education. The data shows that the 1.25 million students in England who are white British and are receiving free school meals reveal the white working class disadvantage gap. So that's what they're calling it. Statistics from as recent as 2025, some 36% of this group achieved a grade 4, the pass mark or more, in English and maths. So I think they're just being given up on by the teachers. I think the teachers are thinking, oh, well, they're white, they're privileged. Why should I bother with them? I'll just teach the non-white students. And I can see that if you had non-white teachers there as well, they might have that attitude. And it would be very difficult for a student to even put into words what was going on there or why it was that he didn't actually like it at school. And he might be accused of being racist if he complained about a non-white teacher not helping him or treating him in a different way to the non-white pupils. Meanwhile, 72% of children who do not receive free school meals achieve the same, around double the number of white working class students. The inquiry also discovered that white working class groups, which when compared to educators, had conflicting views on the very point of education. And this 72% number here, double the number of white working class students. You say, why is it that the working class students don't do so well as the upper class students when they're all white? You know, the way we look at this today is we say, oh, well, it's because the white student are rich. Well, no, it's because they should all be able to get to a good standard, because the average is going to be 100 IQ points, which is a very good IQ. If it's just European, it's the average European. But when you compare it to Africa, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, I mean, it's measurably much higher than the average from these other countries. So if you're going to have a multicultural country, white people should be doing really well. They should be right at the top of the pile, which, of course, they would be if it was a meritocracy. That's why they had to bring in all of this DEI, is because white people were at the top of the pile. And they thought, well, this can't actually, there must be some other reason for this other than whites being more intelligent, which is what the statistics tell us. It must be because whites are racist or they're privileged. Along with Sir Hamid Patel, Baroness Morris added that the findings cannot be explained away by low aspiration or lack of effort. The pair said that to combat the issues, a sustained national effort over many years would be required. They said the challenge set out in this report is significant, but so too is the opportunity. Every child in this country deserves to feel that education is for them, that their future matters, and that success is achievable regardless of where they come from. Well, why are the white peoples not thinking that? Well, it's because they've been indoctrinated with white privilege and white guilt. So they're feeling ashamed of their ancestors rather than proud of their ancestors. And as it says here, it's not a low aspiration or lack of effort, in which case it must be the way that they're being taught, isn't it? As well as thousands of pupils, their parents and hundreds of school teachers were included in the analysis. Responding to the findings, Reforms Education spokeswoman Suella Braverman said the system is failing white working class children. The death of technical and vocational education has killed the hopes and dreams of millions of young people in this country. We need to stop treating children as if they are all the same as they progress through school. They have different talents that should be respected and recognised equally. The system needs radical reform. Only Reform UK will deliver it. So what she's saying there, well, they need to have streaming. They need to stream off the brightest pupils. Again, then you're going to get racial segregation, because you're going to have one group that does, ethnic group that is going to do better at IQ tests, and one ethnic group that is not going to do so well. And they would be accused of segregation and racism once again. This is the end result. Whatever way you look at it, this is the end result of diversity. Nick Harrison, CEO of the Sutton Trust, a charity which seeks to boost social mobility and address disadvantage, echoed a similar concern, saying the inquiry lays bare the cost of leaving whole communities behind. White working class children continue to have some of the lowest educational outcomes of any ethnic group in England, while those growing up in post-industrial and coastal communities also face significantly lower earnings as adults, he warned. Mr. Harrison explained that disadvantaged young people from Black Caribbean backgrounds were just as unlikely to become top earners. But the young people from Black Caribbean backgrounds have an average IQ of 70. That's the reason why they don't become the top earners. The people from the white working class background, they have an average IQ of 100. The reason why they don't become the top earners is because the whole system is arranged against them. And because it privileges groups that are non-white. It's a completely different reason why the white working class aren't becoming top earners. He says, ultimately, this isn't about ethnicity in isolation. It's about the interaction between disadvantage and place, entrenched poverty, communities that have been left behind, and too few routes to good jobs and better lives. So, and another part of this may be that these poor communities that were originally coal miners and had industry like that, there's not much for them to do, is there, anymore, now that they did away with the coal mining. Now we did away with manufacturing and said, well, we'll portion that off to the third world and get them to do that for us. All of these problems just wouldn't exist if it wasn't for multiculturalism. We wouldn't have white students at the bottom of the pile if we didn't have multiculturalism. If we just had white people in the country, then you would say, well, I've got this group here that isn't doing so well. Well, let's teach them other things. Let's get them into metalworking, woodworking, bricklaying, all that sort of thing. Physical vocations. Of course, they can't do that if they're going to say, well, we can only teach them what we can teach girls as well. Girls are going to have difficulty handling bricks and concrete. So we can't teach them that because we have to teach the same to the boys and the girls. These are the problems. You have to tailor things to gender, and you have to tailor things to ethnicity. One size does not fit all. So it's good that this is being talked about, but I'm not sure that their solutions there are actually going to solve the problem. Unless they get rid of that Equality Act, get rid of all this DEI, and get rid of all this indoctrination with white privilege and white guilt, this problem is going to continue. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.